Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really happy to look out into the audience and see all of you who managed to make it here tonight. Seeing you gives me hope for our nation, because I know that there are a lot of you who do care about what's going on and who care about our freedoms that are being stripped away all in the name of national security. I know it wasn't easy for any of you to be here this evening, as we never know until the last minute where our venues will be to conduct these little underground lectures. Now, there are a lot of people out there who don't want us giving these lectures. They don't want us questioning the government's policies and their efforts to squash the rights and freedoms of Americans. They say we're unpatriotic and treasonous to question what's going on, about why we're being lied to, and why it's now wrong to desire the freedoms that our fathers fought so bravely and died for. Well, I say that our day is coming when we'll seize back the control of our country from the thieves and crooks who have taken it for their own material gains. Our time will come again. Tonight I intend to talk about the New World Order and its connections to the current state of affairs in the United States and how it will affect the rest of the world. Also, I intend to discuss UFOs and their connections to the secret government. I received a lot of letters over the last couple of years asking my opinion about the current administration in Washington and their possible connection to the New World Order. You know, the neoconservatives who now run the United States are in no way related to the old conservative movement of less taxes and no big government. The neoconservatives and their partners, the religious right, have been completely taken over by the New World Order. Their mission: to use the military might of the United States to dominate the world. This, in turn, will break the U.S. economy as more and more money is spent on military expansionism. Now, the citizens of the United States will be forced to live in constant fear as government operatives, disguised as foreign terrorists, conduct terrorist operations throughout the country. The conservative administration will declare martial law and abolish all political parties, except for the conservatives. It's happening right now. Just listen to talk radio or read some of the books being released by the conservative mouthpieces. Most glorify the ultra-right movement and denounce the Democrats as treasonous. One author even writes that the Democrats should be taken out and shot. The neoconservatives are telling us exactly what they intend to do to our country and our freedoms. They want to make it so that there is only one legal political party, theirs. The rest, the Democrats, Libertarians, the Greens, any others, will be illegal and treasonous. Well, so much for democracy. Religion as we know it in the United States will also be under attack. The neoconservatives and the religious right want to establish a government-approved religion that all citizens will be forced to belong. All the churches, Catholic, Methodist, Jewish, Muslim, will be declared illegal and treasonous. Religion is the opiate of the masses. Now, I want to make it perfectly clear that at this point, it doesn't matter who is in the White House, Democrat or Republican. They're all under control of the secret government. The current president is a perfect example of a puppet leader. He's controlled from behind the scenes. Bush was deliberately picked to be president because he is slow and easily manipulated. He even thinks that he's making all the decisions. But in reality, he's a puppet on strings. Someone else does his thinking for him. If Bush should ever start to try to think for himself, well, that's what happened to Clinton when he tried to break free of his strings. The secret government knows how to take care of uppity political leaders. Everyone has their weaknesses that can be exploited. With Clinton, it was chubby interns. With Bush, it could be alcohol or cocaine, or both. However, Bush was specifically chosen because of his lack of intelligence and initiative. He's the perfect New World Order leader. They say jump, and Bush asks how high. You know, for years we worried that the New World Order was using the UN to infiltrate the world. But now we know that they have been amongst us all along in the big corporations, especially Big Oil. They have used their rich, elitist families to gain foothold in the government. And now that they have their tentacles in every major government, intelligence, and military position in this country, they have started their push for global dominance. Iraq is just the beginning. If you think the economy is bad now, just wait. Soon, all available money will be going to feed the monster that will become the global military police force. If you thought the Great Depression of the 1930s was bad, well, you ain't seen nothing yet. We are seeing the beginning right now. Are you better off now than you were during the last administration? Where did all the jobs go? Where did our balanced budget go? Where did our sons and daughters go when they died in Iraq? Where did our freedoms go? The secret government manipulates our political system to retain ultimate control of all citizens, another method to exert control of the population and developed as early as the 1930s is mass mind control. The topic of mind control is elaborate and multi-layered. For the casual reader, it can quickly become numbing, overwhelming the senses, and creating a desire to exit the topic. But avoiding this subject is the most foolish thing you could possibly do, since your only chance of surviving this hideous and insidious enslavement agenda, which today threatens virtually all of humanity, is to understand how it functions and to take steps to reduce your chances of being influenced. The plan to create a mind-controlled workers' society has been in place for a long time. The current technology grew out of experiments that the Nazis started before World War II and intensified during the time of the Nazi occupation camps, when an unlimited supply of children and adults were available for experimentation. We've heard about the inhumane medical experiments performed on camp prisoners, but no word ever mentioned by the media or the TV documentaries of the mind control experiments. That was not to be divulged to the American public. John G. Masuda, father of the Information Society, stated his concern in 1980 that our liberty is threatened Orwellian style by cybernetic technology, totally unknown to most people. This technology links the brain of people via implanted microchips to satellites controlled by ground-based supercomputers. The first brain implants were surgically inserted in 1974 in the state of Ohio and also in Stockholm, Sweden. Brain electrodes were inserted into the skulls of babies in 1946 without the knowledge of their parents. In the 1950s and 60s, electrical implants were inserted into the brains of animals and humans, especially in the United States. During research into behavior modification and brain and body functioning, mind control methods were used in attempts to change human behavior and attitudes. Influencing brain functions became an important goal of military and intelligence services. 30 years ago, brain implants showed up in X-rays, approximately the size of 1 centimeter. Subsequent implants shrunk to the size of a grain of rice. Today they are small enough to be inserted into the neck or back and also intravenously in different parts of the body during surgical operations, with or without the consent of the subject. It is now almost impossible to detect or remove implants. It is technically possible for every newborn to be injected with a microchip, which could then function to identify the person for the rest of his or her life. Such plans were secretly being discussed in the United States without any public airing of the privacy issues involved. In Sweden, Prime Minister Olof Palme gave permission in 1973 to implant prisoners, and data inspectors ex-General Jan Fries revealed that nursing home patients were implanted in the mid-1980s. Implanted human beings can be followed anywhere. Their brain function can be remotely monitored by supercomputers and even altered through the changing of frequencies. Guinea pigs in secret experiments have included prisoners, soldiers, mental patients, handicapped children, deaf and blind people, homosexuals, single women, the elderly, school children, and any group of people considered marginal by the elite experimenters. The published experiences of prisoners in Utah State Prison, for example, are shocking to the conscience. Today's microchips operate by means of low-frequency radio waves that can target from a distance. With the help of satellites, the implanted person can be tracked anywhere on the globe. When a microchip is placed in the optical nerve of the eye, it draws neuroimpulses from the brain that embody the experiences, smells, sights, and voice of the implanted person. Once transferred and stored into a computer, these neuroimpulses can be projected back to the person's brain by the microchip to be re-experienced a second time. Using an RMS, a land-based computer operator can send electromagnetic messages, encoded as signals, to the nervous system, affecting the target's performances. With RMS, healthy persons can be induced to see hallucinations and to hear voices in their heads. Every thought, reaction, hearing, and visual observation causes a certain neurological potential, spikes and patterns in the brain and its electromagnetic fields, which can now be decoded into thoughts, pictures, and voices. Electromagnetic stimulation can therefore change a person's brain wave and affect muscular activity, causing painful muscular cramps experienced as torture. The NSA's electronic surveillance system can simultaneously follow and handle millions of people. Each of us has a unique bioelectrical resonance frequency in the brain, just as we have unique fingerprints. With electromagnetic frequency, brain stimulation, fully coded, pulsating electromagnetic signals can be sent to the brain, causing the desired voice and visual effects to be experienced by the target. This is a form of electronic warfare. United States astronauts were implanted before they were sent into space so their thoughts could be followed and all of their emotions could be registered 24 hours a day. The Washington Post reported in May 1995 that Prince William of Great Britain was implanted at the age of 12. Thus, if he was ever kidnapped, a radio wave with a specific frequency could be targeted to his microchip. The chip's signal could then be routed through a satellite to the computer screen of police headquarters, where the prince's movements could be followed. He could actually be located anywhere on the globe. The mass media has not reported that an implanted person's privacy vanishes for the rest of his or her life. He or she can be manipulated in many ways. Using different frequencies, the secret controller of this experiment can even change a person's emotional life. He can be made aggressive or lethargic. Sexuality can be artificially influenced. Thought signals and subconscious thinking can be read, dreams affected, and even induced, all without the knowledge or consent of the implanted person. A perfect cyber soldier can thus be created. This secret technology has been used by military forces in certain NATO countries since the 1980s without civilian and academic populations having heard anything about it. Thus, little information about such invasive mind control systems is available in professional and academic journals. The NSA's Signals Intelligence Group can remotely monitor information from human brains by decoding the evoked potentials emitted by the brain. Prisoner experimentees in both Gothenburg, Sweden, and Vienna, Austria, have been found to have evident brain lesions, diminished blood circulation, and lack of oxygen in the right temporal frontal lobes result when brain implants were usually operative. A Finnish experimentee experienced brain deterioration and intermittent attacks of unconsciousness due to a lack of oxygen. Mind control techniques can be used for political purposes. The goal of mind controllers today is to induce the targeted persons or groups to act against his or her own convictions and best interest. Zombified individuals can even be programmed to murder and remember nothing of their crime afterwards. Alarming examples of this phenomenon can be found in the United States. This silent war is being conducted against unknowing civilians and soldiers by military and intelligence agencies. Since 1980, electronic stimulation of the brain has been secretly used to control people targeted without their knowledge or consent. An international human rights agreement forbids non-consensual manipulation of human beings, even in prisons, not to speak of civilian populations. In addition to electronic mind control, chemical methods have also been developed. Mind-altering drugs and different smelling gases affecting brain function negatively can be injected into air ducts or water pipes. Bacteria and viruses have also been tested this way in several countries. Today's super technology connecting our brain functions via microchips, or even without them according to the latest technology, to computers by satellites in the United States or Israel poses the gravest threat to humanity. The latest supercomputers are powerful enough to monitor the whole world's population. What will happen when people are tempted by false premises to allow microchips into their bodies? One lure will be a microchip identity card. Compulsory legislation has even been secretly proposed in the United States to criminalize removal of an ID implant. Are we ready for the robotization of mankind and the total elimination of privacy, including freedom of thought? How many of us would want to cede our entire life, including our most secret thoughts, to Big Brother? Yet, the technology exists to create a totalitarian new world order. Covert neurological communication systems are in place to counteract independent thinking and to control social and political activity on behalf of self-serving private and military interests. It is now known that the United States Air Force uses aerial mind control broadcast against civilian populations as well as enemy troops. Some of these actions against civilians are done with the intent of influencing public opinion and the outcome of elections. The U.S. military is aware that certain actions or procedures may not be acceptable to the American public, but there has been no open debate. On July 24, 1994, the U.S. Department of Defense proposed that non-lethal weapons be used not only against declared enemies, but against anyone engaged in activities that the DOD opposed. That could include almost anybody and anything. Note that the mind-controlling technology is classified under non-lethal weapons. A 1998 news item states that U.S. Air Force General John Jumper predicts that the military will have the tools to make potential enemies see, hear, and believe things that do not exist, and that the same idea was contained in a 15-volume study by the United States Air Force Scientific Advisory Board issued in 1996 on how to maintain U.S. air and space superiority on the battlefields of the 21st century. In military speak, a prediction means don't be surprised when you find out we've already got this, but it's classified and we can't admit to it just yet. Now notice that General Jumper predicts that mind control technology will be used against potential enemies. The military and government agencies may apply this term to any group or individual that they perceive as a threat to their own interests. Potential enemies may be countercultural individuals, those of opposing political viewpoints, economic or financial competitors, biological undesirables. It's part of the military agenda to identify potential threats so as to be prepared to meet them. Experience has shown that the U.S. government, the CIA and FBI, for example, has moved against these people or groups, slandering, harassing, even killing them without adequate cause or legal sanction. A weapon that can be used in secret lends itself to abuse by unethical individuals in positions of power. The military and secret services have shown themselves often to be lacking in ethical constraints. After all, the job of the military is war. It is killing people. And so just how this is accomplished may be considered irrelevant. The lone gunman that we hear about in assassination attempts, school shootings, etc., are mind control individuals who have been programmed to carry out these missions. Ted Bundy, the Son of Sam serial killer, David Berkowitz, Lee Harvey Oswald, Timothy McVeigh, the Columbine shooters, Sirhan, and others were mind-controlled individuals who were programmed to perform these killings. Tens of thousands of young teenage boys were kidnapped and forced into a mind-control training program called the Montauk Project starting around 1976. There were at least 250,000 mind-controlled Montauk boys produced at 25 different facilities similar to the underground base at Montauk, Long Island. Many of these boys were to become sleepers, programmed to go into action at a later date when properly triggered to engage in some sort of destructive or disruptive conduct. Other Montauk boys were woven into the fabric of mainstream American life as journalists, radio and TV personalities, businessmen, lawyers, judges, prosecutors, maybe even presidents. The day is now approaching in which government mind control technologies will be directed at you, your neighbors, and your loved ones. Every single day, equipment is being erected and installed in this country with the hidden purpose of exerting mind control over the entire population. These mind control technologies have been in place for a long time. It's not an accident that the frequency band chosen for cell phone use just happens to match the second-order waves that Dr. Wilhelm Reich discovered in the late 1940s to affect thought transmission and allow the mind to be manipulated without the victim realizing it. The United States is not alone in the research and development of mind control technology. It's well known that the former Soviet Union had developed and implemented mind-control devices that were equal and even more advanced than that developed by the United States. As early as 1975, the Soviet Union was beaming radio frequency signals towards North America. Ham operators were picking up the 10 Hz frequency, which they called woodpecker signals because of the tapping they heard from extremely low frequency waves. It was speculated that this ELF frequency could resonate the neurons in the human brain over great distances, resulting in mood changes in a large part of the population. In response to the Soviets' ELF experiments, the United States developed its own high-frequency, active auroral research program, known as HARP. Located in Alaska, HARP is a high-powered radio transmission research facility jointly operated by the U.S. Navy, Air Force, and several universities. This facility is able to send very low frequency and extra low frequency waves at energy levels sufficient to affect entire regional populations. What other objective can there be but to control people with this device? What is even more ominous is that after reviewing HARP documents and Air Force materials, the possibility is there for the HARP transmitting system to be used inadvertently or intentionally to alter mental functions. A radio transmitter carrying a pulsed wave of 6 to 12 pulses per second, acting in resonance with the radio waves which serve as a carrier, could, if modulated in just the right way, disrupt minds and cause serious negative health effects on humans and animals. This technology is well within the capability of HARP, and there is no doubt what they intend to use it for. Perhaps the most ominous aspect of the HARP technology is the connecting of the military non-lethal research with civilian law enforcement agencies. This means that law enforcement can use this technology against the government's domestic adversaries. Now bear in mind that these weapons are invisible when used to alter thinking and behavior. Will HARP and other mind control devices be used as the opening salvo to usher in the New World Order? Or are we already suffering attacks from this hellspawn technology? The New World Order is accelerating their mind control operations to further their goal of creating a theocracy in the United States. This may seem odd at first, considering that the New World Order is atheistic by nature. However, the ruling elites are no fools. They know that one of the best ways to rule the masses is through restrictive religious laws. They also know that most political and religious leaders have no human morals. They crave power and material riches, and would do almost anything to achieve these goals, including sleeping with the devil. There are many people in the United States who would gladly torture and kill their neighbors and family if the government, using the veneer of God and religion, told them to do so. It's no mystery why the United States is undergoing a fundamentalist religious movement right now. It is being formulated and nurtured by the New World Order. Now, don't mistake the current religious movement with the church that most of us grew up with. The new religious movement has nothing to do with Christianity as we know it. Instead, the new religious movement is all about political power and the ultimate control of the population. Right now, there is a movement in Washington to push a law through Congress that would acknowledge God as the sovereign source of law, liberty, and government in the United States. What's more, it would forbid all legal challenges to government officials who use the power of the state to enforce their own view of God's sovereign authority. Any judge who dared even hear such a challenge could be removed from office. The Constitution Restoration Act of 2004 is no joke. It was introduced recently by some of the Bush regime's most powerful congressional parasites. If enacted, it will effectively transform the American Republic into a theocracy, where the arbitrary dictates of a higher power, as interpreted by a judge, policeman, bureaucrat, or president, can override the rule of law. The act, drafted by television evangelist and New World Order spokesperson Pat Robinson, is the fruit of decades of work by a group of extremists known broadly as Dominionists. Their openly expressed aim is to establish biblical rule over every aspect of society, placing the state, the school, the arts and sciences, law, economics, and every other sphere under Christ the King. Or, as Attorney General John Ashcroft has often proclaimed, America has no king but Jesus. This, of course, is a joke, as the puppet masters behind Ashcroft don't believe in Jesus or Christianity. But Ashcroft doesn't know this or care. He is only interested in more money and power. According to Dominionist literature, biblical rule means execution, preferably by stoning, of homosexuals and other sinners. Massive tax cuts for the rich, because wealth is a mark of God's favor, and elimination of government programs to alleviate poverty and sickness, this because God hates the poor, weak, and sick, and enslavement for debtors. No legal challenges to God's orders will be allowed, and because this order is divinely ordained, the elect can use any means necessary to establish it, including deception, subversion, even violence. As Pat Robinson himself tells the faithful, zealous men force their way in. Again, this is no tiny band of crackpots. The Dominionists are bankrolled and directed by deep-pocketed, well-connected business moguls and political operatives who have engineered a takeover of the Republican Party and are now at the heart of the U.S. government. They've made common cause with the American Empire faction, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and the neoconservatives who seek full-spectrum dominance over the globe. The Dominionists provide money and domestic political muscle for the dominators' imperial ambitions. In return, the dominators provide a practical vehicle, overwhelming military might and state power, for making the Dominionist dreams a reality. The Dominionists also have strong backing on the Supreme Court. Justice Scalia, author of the unconstitutional ruling that gave Bush the presidency, declared in the theological journal First Things that the state derives its moral authority from God, not the consent of the governed. Scalia also wrote against the tendency of democracy to obscure the divine authority behind government. Meanwhile, the tools of dominion keep expanding. General Ralph Eberhardt, head of America's first domestic military command, said the regime must now bring the experience learned on foreign battlefields to the homeland itself, including the integration of police, military, and intelligence forces, wide area surveillance of the United States, and urban warfare tactics. Put this juggernaut at the service of the democracy-hating extremists with no legal restraints on their enforcement of God's sovereign authority, plus a proven track record of subverting the law to gain political power, and what would you have? A mullah state? The Taliban in the United States? A military theocracy? The country under the control of the New World Order. The major reason that the New World Order has rapidly increased its efforts to control mankind is because of the unexpected arrival of UFOs. Now, unidentified flying objects are really nothing new. There are plenty of historical accounts of strange objects spotted flying around in the sky. The Bible, for example, has many interesting stories of unexplained things seen in the heavens. However, what created the panic in the secret backrooms of the New World Order was the increase of UFO sightings after World War II and the beginnings of actual contacts with strange creatures that stepped out of landed UFOs. In the United States, the military became involved with the UFO mystery when an unknown flying craft crashed in the desert outside of Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. This crash, alongside other crashes that occurred shortly before and after the Roswell crash, caused the military to create a conspiracy of cover-ups that continues today. The New World Order is well aware of the existence and reality of UFOs, and this is extremely troubling to them because this is a situation that is entirely out of their control. Because of this, the New World Order has created the massive disinformation campaign surrounding the UFO mystery. The actual truth about UFOs has been so covered up and obscured by the New World Order that it is almost impossible today to know what is really going on. Not even the president knows the long history of cover-ups and secrets that surround UFOs. But the truth of the matter is that there has been contacts with creatures claiming to be from other planets. Secret government and military agencies have dealt with these creatures since the late 1940s. Alien technology has been exchanged for human lives and guarantees of secret bases for the UFO creatures. Humans have been taken on board the UFOs, and some have even been taken away to other planets, or so the UFO pilots claim. The shocking fact is that none of the people taken away to other worlds have ever returned to verify the UFO creatures' claims. In fact, much of the information that has been given to us by the alleged aliens either cannot be verified or has turned out to be downright lies. Even though much of what we know surrounding the UFO conspiracy deals with the United States' involvement since the late 1940s, there is very good evidence that shows Nazi Germany may have been the first country to actually get their hands on a UFO or even establish limited communication with the UFO pilots. First-hand accounts from German war survivors suggest that Nazi occult secret societies in which Hitler and most of his top inner circle were involved, using the process known today as channeling, successfully called up entities who claimed to be extraterrestrials. This claim was further bolstered when the channeled entities revealed the location of a crashed spacecraft in rural Poland. When the Nazis captured this craft, they were faced with a technology completely beyond their understanding. However, the Germans, with help provided by the channeled entities, were able to grasp simple concepts of the unknown technology. This primitive understanding led to the world's first ballistic missiles, jet planes, and even the first man-made flying saucer. So, not only was Nazi Germany actively developing technology that was inspired through channeled communication, but it also learned of remote locations around the planet where it could retrieve alleged alien artifacts. The Nazis sponsored numerous expeditions to remote locations, the results of which were largely unknown to Western intelligence services. A number of U.S. intelligence sources testified that Nazi Germany had indeed developed technology that resembled modern-day UFOs. According to Virgil Armstrong, a former CIA agent, we know that in the early parts of the war there were certain factions of the Allied forces that did not believe that Hitler had a secret weapon, and it wasn't until the Americans made much emphasis on this that they began to look at it seriously and indeed did discover that Hitler not only had a secret weapon, he had what we would call a UFO or spacecraft. More disturbing from the perspective of Western intelligence sources was the possibility that Nazi Germany was secretly being given assistance from an alien race. That Nazi Germany received assistance from extraterrestrials was suggested by the father of modern rocketry, Hermann Oberth, who confirmed a Nazi alien connection when he stated, "We cannot take credit for our record advancement in certain scientific fields alone. We have been helped." When asked by whom, he replied, the peoples of other worlds. The likelihood that Nazi Germany had come into possession of a crashed alien craft may have been evidence of some form of assistance given to Nazi Germany by one or more alien races. At the end of the war, the superiority of Nazi Germany's technology was starkly revealed by correspondence between Major General Hugh Kinnear, Deputy Commanding General for Administration of U.S. Strategic Forces in Europe, and Lieutenant General Carl Spatz in March 1945. Kinnear wrote, "Occupation of German scientific and industrial establishments has revealed the fact that we have been alarmingly backward in many fields of research. If we do not take this opportunity to seize apparatus and the brains that developed it and put this combination back to work promptly, we will remain several years behind while we attempt to cover a field already exploited." This suggests that the years Nazi Germany had in developing alien-inspired technologies, while the Allied powers were skeptical of the communication techniques used by the Nazi sponsorship of occult societies, were crucial. After it became known that Nazi Germany's offensive weapons capabilities were derived from its communications with alien races and likely recovery of alien technology, Britain, the United States, and even the Soviet Union were already far behind the technological discoveries made by the Nazis. The official defeat of Nazi Germany and Imperial Japan in 1945 was in fact a tactical victory that masked a major strategic defeat for the victorious Allies that was kept from the general public. A significant proportion of Nazi Germany's political elite and their most advanced alien technology and fully operational saucer ships had escaped from Allied occupational forces. What remained of Nazi Germany's advanced weapon programs was disturbing in terms of the overall technological advances achieved by the Nazis in many fields of weapons production. The fact that the Nazis had removed most of their advanced secrets, technology, and personnel during the run-up to the final defeat of Germany would have been a huge shock to Allied leaders once it became clear what had occurred. Rather than the final months of the Second World War being a last desperate gamble by a megalomaniac Nazi leadership that could not accept inevitable defeat, it was in fact a holding action for a methodically well-planned extraction of the Nazis' most valuable resources and personnel to well-prepared remote locations in the Antarctic and South America. This allowed the Nazis to continue their unique soldier system and plan to eventually play an important, if not dominant, role in global affairs. The Nazis had sufficient time and resources to prepare for such an exodus given their extensive business links, front companies, and connections with South American governments and companies. The well-equipped Nazi expeditions to the Antarctic in the pre-war period allowed the Nazis to familiarize themselves with the Antarctic terrain and lay the foundations for any post-war role to be played by these territories. During the war itself, extensive submarine activity in the region of Antarctica suggested that the Nazis could have been building bases. After Germany's unconditional surrender on May 8, 1945, Nazi submarine activity in the Antarctic region continued, as evidenced by a report from the French press agency on September 25, 1946. The report stated that continuous rumors about German U-boat activity between the southernmost tip of Latin America and the continent of Antarctica are based on true happenings. What compounded this realization of a Nazi elite exodus to Antarctica was evidence that alien races were indeed visiting the Earth. The alien presence would now be a factor in the Allies pursuing and destroying the remnants of Nazi Germany that had relocated to Antarctica and South America, and who were now using their fully operational saucer ships to move around the planet and possibly even fly into deep space. Many of the UFOs witnessed in the most immediate post-war era were fully operational Nazi spacecraft. A little-known effort to once and for all end the Nazi threat occurred with a naval military expedition led by Admiral Richard Byrd to the Antarctic in 1946 and 47. Byrd's military expedition was named Operation High Jump. The Antarctic summer of 1946 and 47 was the first opportunity to mount such a large military expedition to the frigid regions of Antarctica. Coming so soon after the end of the Second World War, it was a puzzle why such a large armada would travel to Antarctica at a time of increasing Cold War tensions and decommissioning of naval personnel, unless the expedition was sent to militarily deal with some of the unresolved issues from the war itself, remnants of the Nazi elite hidden in an underground base or bases. The Byrd mission was scheduled to last up to 6 months, but it ended in a mere 8 weeks because it had, according to Chilean press reports, run into trouble and that there had been many fatalities. If the true goal of the mission was to locate and eradicate any Nazi bases, the press reports and early end to the mission indicated dismal failure and a rude awakening for the U.S. Navy. A March 5, 1947 Chilean press interview of Admiral Byrd after the premature end of Operation High Jump suggested that there had indeed been a military failure and that there was a new threat located at the South Pole. Admiral Byrd declared that it was imperative for the United States to initiate immediate defense measures against hostile regions. The Admiral further stated that he didn't want to frighten anyone, but it was a bitter reality that in case of a new war, the continental United States would be attacked by flying objects which could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds. It was clear that the best the U.S. Navy could muster was no match for the small but well-armed Nazi elite that survived the war in their remote Antarctic location. Indeed, the possibility that the Nazis were receiving alien assistance in fending off the United States attack could not be discounted. The Nazi efforts through occult groups to communicate with an advanced civilization may have resulted in the elite Nazis being assisted in relocating to the hidden Antarctic base and possibly receiving significant alien support from any attack by the United States and its allies. The victorious allies that formed the United Nations and whose principal members became the permanent members of the UN Security Council would cooperate in ensuring non-disclosure of the alien presence to their respective general publics and other national governments. This suggested that the United Nations Security Council provided an important forum for the permanent members to coordinate their respective national policies on aliens and ensuring non-disclosure of the alien presence and/or discovery of alien technology. The second major policy adopted for globally managing alien affairs was that the alien connection with Nazi Germany and the survival of the Nazi elite in remote locations in Antarctica and South America would not be disclosed to the general public and most elected public officials by those national governments aware of the Nazi exodus. This was to ensure that there would be no reemergence of the Nazi ideology as the basis of new national governments anywhere in the world, and of Nazi elites capturing a major state for promoting their Nazi belief systems. This posed considerable difficulties in South America, where many governments had strong pro-Nazi sentiments and had provided material support and safe havens for the Axis powers. Countries such as Antarctica, Paraguay, Chile, and Brazil were carefully watched due to strong pro-Nazi sympathies among political elites and the potential for these states to be vehicles for the spread of Nazism, fascism in the South American continent. Indeed, much of the Cold War struggle that occurred throughout South America was an effort to contain the spread of Nazism, fascism, and the need to rein in the influence of Nazi enclaves that influenced governments on this continent. The fear was that South America could one day become a vehicle for a renewed effort by the remaining Nazi elites for regional, if not global, domination. The Cold War struggle in South America was a covert means for the United States and the Soviet Union to minimize the threat posed by the escaped Nazi elite by exhausting South American states in a series of political and economic crises. These perennial crises would ensure that no South American state could ever achieve the kind of economic potential that would enable it to develop the industrial capacity and the technological base that would provide the Nazi elite with a vehicle for achieving a leadership role in regional and/or world affairs. The third major policy adopted for globally managing alien affairs was that all alien-inspired technology left by Nazi Germany was divided between the victorious powers of the United States, Britain, France, and the Soviet Union in terms of who had possession of this technology or scientists in the respective zones of control in occupied Germany and former occupied territories. Each Allied state incorporated this technology into their respective military efforts aimed at weapons development and intelligence acquisitions. Each of the major Allied states had its own version of Operation Paperclip, where the United States sponsored the removal of Nazi scientists to the U.S., even in cases where they had strong pro-Nazi records, thereby violating U.S. immigration laws. These efforts of recruiting Nazi scientists were distinguished by the continuation of many Nazi-sponsored projects in the United States and Soviet Union. The expatriation of former Nazi scientists was particularly important in a number of fields where the Nazis used slave labor and/or unwilling human subjects in testing and developing extraterrestrial-inspired technologies. The restrictions on such experiments in the United States and other democratic nations meant that these Nazi scientists had a wealth of experience that could not be easily replicated in the U.S. and elsewhere. Areas in particular which were of interest to the Western nations aware of the alien presence were genetic and mind-control experiments aimed at optimizing human performance in extreme conditions. These experiments were secretly continued in the United States and other former Allied states with the purpose of bioengineering super soldiers who could display the kind of genetic and mental qualities for extremely high military performance in outer space. The testimonies of former participants in these experiments suggested that many of these former Nazi-sponsored genetic and mind control programs were indeed used for producing super soldiers. Other areas of experimentation involved psychometric weapon developments and experiments working with time-dimensional travel. A number of participants in these highly secret projects, sponsored by intelligence and military branches of government, have come forward to give testimony of these projects. Preston Nichols claims to have been a former director of one of these projects and has testified to the use of children, the homeless, and other unwilling human subjects in continuing these highly secret experiments. Over the years, the Montauk researchers perfected their mind control techniques and continued to delve further into the far reaches of human potential. By developing the psychic abilities of different personnel, it eventually got to the point where a psychic's thought could be amplified with hardware and illusions could be manifested both subjectively and objectively. This included the virtual creation of matter. All of this was unparalleled in the history of what we call ordinary human experience. But the people who ran the Montauk Project were not about to stop. They would reach even further into the realm of the extraordinary. Once it was discovered that a psychic could manifest matter, it was observed that it could appear at different times depending on what the psychic was thinking. Thus, what would happen if a psychic thought of a book, but thought of it appearing yesterday? It was this line of thinking and experimentation which led to the idea that one could bend time itself. After years of research, time portals were opened with massive and outrageous experiments being conducted. The fourth major policy adopted for globally managing alien affairs was that all alien artifacts found around the planet would be brought under the control of one or more of the victorious powers of the United States, Britain, the Soviet Union, and France. This meant that the post-war division of the globe into different spheres of influence agreed to at Yalta meant that most, if not all, alien technology would eventually find its way into the clandestine military programs of the U.S., Britain, the Soviet Union, and France, or at least be monitored by these major states. This fundamental principle of globally managing alien affairs was particularly important in those parts of the planet where ancient civilizations existed and where alien artifacts were likely to be hidden in inaccessible or yet to be discovered areas. Regions such as Tibet, Egypt, Iraq, Afghanistan, Indonesia, South and Central America, and elsewhere were all highly valued assets due to the potential alien artifacts possibly located in these countries and regions. The global cooperation between the U.S. and the Soviet Union and other permanent members of the U.N. Security Council members in responding to the alien presence and gaining access to alien artifacts yielded to intense strategic cooperation for control of these territories and their hidden treasures. The Cold War ideological conflict masked the very real struggle for each major state to maximize its power in terms of the technological breakthrough alien artifacts would provide. There is evidence that the invasion and takeover of Iraq is but the latest example of a regional military conflict whose ultimate prize is alien artifacts that would impact on the technological programs of the major states managing alien affairs. The split between NATO members, France and Germany, with the United States and Britain over the legitimacy and timing of the military intervention in Iraq, suggested that a fundamental realignment in managing alien affairs had occurred with France and Germany, siding with Russia and even China in wanting to restrain the United States. This suggested that the post-Second World War cooperation for managing alien affairs was under severe strain and that very real tensions lay underneath the polite language of international diplomacy. The fifth major policy adopted for globally managing alien technology and the alien presence was that the major powers would cooperate in responding to the challenge posed by both the remnants of Nazi Germany and their hidden military bases in Antarctica and South America, and to one or more alien races that had continued to assist the Nazi elites. This cooperation by the major powers was marked by agreements to not disclose this information to their respective general publics and most elected political officials. What surely most troubled Allied officials was the success of the Nazi elites to develop fully operational saucer craft that were propelled by anti-gravity generators and navigational systems that still had not been successfully developed by the United States or Soviet Union. This Nazi success occurred well before the Allied states were able to develop their own fleets of saucer ships. According to Colonel Steve Wilson, the first successful U.S. anti-gravity flight took place on July 18, 1971, at S-4 Dreamland, also known as Area 51, wherein light-bending capabilities were also demonstrated to obtain total invisibilities. A number of military whistleblowers suggest that the United States currently has a fleet of alien reverse-engineered ships with anti-gravity propulsion system, and that manned flights to the moon and even Mars are regular occurrences by the clandestine organizations developing and using such technologies. The chief legacy of the Nazi-alien connection is that Nazi enclaves continue to influence a key region of the planet, namely South America, leading to numerous political and economic crises in that continent, which continues to seriously impact on the lives of South American citizens. Furthermore, there are claims by a number of researchers that Nazism continues to covertly influence government policy at the highest level in countries such as the United States, Russia, and to a lesser extent, Britain and France, through the Nazi scientists and intelligence officials brought into those countries after the Second World War. These former Nazi scientists and officials assume prominent leadership positions in the clandestine programs to develop alien-inspired technologies, and thus become Trojan horses for Nazi principles and beliefs, both in government and corporations that fulfill numerous contracts that service the military and intelligence communities in the United States. This is especially the case in projects that involve mind control and genetic experiments that utilize alien-inspired technologies for a variety of purposes. There is evidence that Nazi infiltration through the Trojan horse of former Nazi scientists into the military-industrial complexes that oversee alien affairs is so significant as to constitute a direct threat to democracy and liberty in the United States and other major powers. There is a need for full disclosure of alien affairs in general in order to make it possible for humanity to make the transition to the reality of extraterrestrial life and the political issues that arise with dealing with alien affairs. There are not only ethical and political principles that motivate full disclosure, but there are also significant national security principles at stake. The very survival of the United States as the bastion of liberty and democracy are at stake if clandestine projects dealing with alien affairs and the continued Nazi influence are not placed under the oversight of the appropriate congressional and executive committees that are open to the public and in their operations and reports. At a global level, there is a similar threat that key institutions that manage alien affairs have become infiltrated by Nazi elites and/or Nazi principles. It is imperative that the public become fully informed of the existence of aliens, their activity and agendas in supporting the Nazi elites, and their activities since the end of the Second World War. Because of the Nazi-alien connection, the New World Order, who had originally funded the development of Nazi Germany, had to make necessary changes in their agenda of controlling the planet. The unexpected arrival of the alleged aliens and the New World Order's inability to control them forced the secret controllers to forge new plans and alliances. What has been beneficial to the New World Order is the alleged alien secretive, if not downright deceptive, nature. The aliens appear to enjoy playing games and making promises that are often broken. As well, they make predictions of the future that come true and then encourage their human contacts to publicly reveal additional predictions that are often apocalyptic in nature. When these predictions don't come true, the credibility of the UFO contacts are ruined forever. The New World Order has used this evasive nature of the UFO beams to work in their favor. While the secret alliances have worked for decades to keep UFOs secret, the New World Order has done everything possible to spread the news that UFOs are alien spacecraft. Of course, the New World Order also spreads an abundance of disinformation about UFOs and aliens. This effort has created a schizophrenic impression with the public. One side believes that all UFOs and the creatures that pilot them are extraterrestrial, while the other side thinks that UFOs are simply the work of overproductive imagination. This creates confusion and uncertainty. So while the New World Order may not be able to control UFOs and the creatures who fly them, they can still control the public's perception of them. The frightening truth is that no one really knows the true natures of UFOs and the beings who pilot them. They could be extraterrestrials, but there is also good evidence that they could be time travelers or from other dimensions, or even from civilizations located in secret caverns underneath our feet. Some people even think that UFOs could be satanic and flown by creatures known by our ancestors as demons. Whatever the real truth is, the UFO creatures aren't telling us. They control the situation entirely. That is what the world's governments are afraid the public will find out. Not that UFOs are real. They know the UFOs are real. What they don't know is who the UFO pilots are, where they come from, or what they really want. We are helpless to prevent them from flying in our skies or even controlling us completely. They have the upper hand, and there is nothing we can do about it. One of the more intriguing aspects of the UFO conspiracy is the continuing rumors of secret underground bases in the United States and other countries. Many of these secret bases are alleged to be cooperatives with the U.S. military and various extraterrestrial races. These stories are nothing new. I heard these rumors circulating in the halls of the Pentagon years before they became public to UFO researchers. There is no doubt that there are secret underground military bases in such locations as Area 51 in Nevada and Pine Gap in Australia. However, it's still open to debate whether or not some of these bases also house UFOs and the alleged aliens who pilot them. I will tell you that the secret NSA remote viewing project that I participated in during my days at Fort Meade, Maryland, did unintentionally view several top secret underground facilities located in the western parts of the United States. We were not allowed to compare notes or even openly discuss our individual responses to target areas, but we did talk to each other after hours, and all of us had the same impressions that some of these bases were involved in contacts with creatures that were not human, as we define the terms. Suffice to say that there are secret underground bases out there that contain more than just the normal earthly military hardware. Dulce is a small, quiet town in northern New Mexico. There's nothing about Dulce to distinguish it from the thousands of other towns just like it all across the country. But, according to some, Dulce harbors a deep, dark secret. The secret is harbored deep below ground where allegedly there is an underground base said to be a joint government-alien biogenetic laboratory designed to carry out bizarre experiments on animals and even humans. Some of what we know about the Dulce facility comes from a former security guard named Thomas Costello. In late 1979, Thomas could no longer cope with the awesome reality he had to confront. As a high-level security officer at the top-secret base, he had seen things that left him deeply disturbed. After careful consideration, he decided to desert the facility and take a few items with him as proof of his fantastic story. Using a small camera, he took over 30 photos of areas within the multi-level complex. He collected documents and removed a security videotape from the control center, which showed various camera views of the hallways, labs, U.S. government personnel, and even what he said were aliens. Then, by shutting off the alarm and camera system in one of the over 100 exits to the surface, he left the facility with his shocking evidence. The originals were hidden after 5 sets of copies were made and distributed. Thomas was ready to go into hiding, but when he went to pick up his wife and young son, he found a van and government agents waiting. His wife and child had been kidnapped. He had been betrayed by a fellow worker. The agents wanted what Thomas had taken from the facility in order to get his wife and son back. However, it became apparent to him that his family was going to be used in biological experiments and were not going to be returned unharmed. At that point, he decided to disappear. Thomas alleges that there are over 18,000 short grays at the Dulce facility and that he saw creatures that he called reptilian humanoids. The multi-level facility at Dulce is reported to have a central hub which is controlled by base security. The security level goes up as one descends to lower levels. Thomas had an Ultra 7 clearance. He knew of 7 sublevels, but there may have been more. Most of the aliens supposedly were on levels 5, 6, and 7, with alien housing on level 5. The only sign in English was over the tube shuttle station hallway, which read, "To Los Alamos." Connections go from Dulce to the Page, Arizona facility, then onto an underground base below Area 51. Tube shuttles go to and from Dulce to facilities all over the western United States. There appears to be a vast network of tube shuttles connections under the United States, which extends into a global system of tunnels and sub-cities. At the Dulce base, most signs on doors and hallways are in the alien symbol language and a universal symbol system understood by humans and aliens. Thomas stated that after the second level, everyone is weighed in the nude, then given a uniform. The weight of the person is put on a computer ID card each day. A change in weight of over 3 pounds requires a physical exam and x-ray. All elevators are controlled magnetically. There are no elevator cables. The magnetic system is inside the walls of the elevator shaft. There are no normal electrical controls. Everything is controlled by advanced magnetics, including lighting. Level 1 contains the garage for street maintenance. Level 2 contains the garage for trains, shuttles, tunnel boring machines, and disc maintenance. The studies on Level 4 include human aura research, as well as all aspects of telepathy, hypnosis, and dreams. Thomas says that they know how to separate the bioplasmic body from the physical body to place an alien entity life force matrix within a human body after removing the soul life force matrix of the human. Level 6 is privately called Nightmare Hall. It holds the genetic labs where experiments are done on fish, seals, birds, and mice that are vastly altered from their original form. There are multi-armed and multi-legged humans and several cages and vats of humanoid, bat-like creatures as tall as 7 feet. The aliens have taught the humans a lot about genetics, things both useful and dangerous. The gray and reptoid species are highly analytical and technologically oriented. They have had ancient conflicts with the Nordic humans and other space societies and may be staging here for a future conflict. Intensely into computing and bioengineering scientists, they are led to doing reckless experiments without regard for what we consider to be ethical and empathetic conduct towards other living creatures. It was when Thomas encountered humans in cages on level 7 of the Dulce facility that things finally reached a climax for him. Row after row of thousands of humans, human mixture remains, and embryos of humanoids were kept in cold storage. He says he frequently encountered humans in cages, usually dazed or drugged, but sometimes they cried and begged for help. The workers were told that these people were hopelessly insane and involved in high-risk drug tests to cure insanity. Yet more testimony to the reality of underground alien bases came from a man named Phil Schneider, an engineer who claimed to have discovered an alien base accidentally. Schneider is said to have committed suicide, but his ex-wife says that his death was suspicious and that he was found with a rubber catheter hose wrapped around his neck and tied in the back, evidence that she says points to murder. Schneider claimed that back in 1954, under the Eisenhower administration, the federal government decided to circumvent the Constitution of the United States and form a treaty with alien entities. It was called the 1954 Granada Treaty, which basically made the agreement that the aliens involved could take some cows now and then and also test their implanting techniques on a few select human beings. But they had to give details to the government about the people. In return, the United States would get alien technology that would help them defeat the Russians. However, after the bases were built and the aliens firmly established, the government realized that they had been fooled. There was no promised technology, and the aliens did what they wanted when they wanted. They were in total control. Schneider said that he was involved in building an addition to the deep underground military base at Dulce. The base goes down 7 levels and is over 2.5 miles deep. At that particular time, workers had drilled 4 holes in the desert and were going to link them together and blow out large sections at a time. Schneider's job was to go down the holes and check the rock samples and recommend the explosives to deal with the particular rock. As the crew was headed down, they found themselves amidst a large cavern that was full of creatures known as large grays. Schneider says that they had surprised a whole underground base of existing aliens. Later, they found out that the creatures had been living on our planet for a long time, perhaps 1 million years. According to the late Bill Cooper, a confrontation broke out between the human scientists and the aliens at the Dulce Underground Lab. The aliens took the scientists hostage, and Delta forces were sent in to free them, but they were no match for the aliens' weapons. 66 people were killed during this action. As a result, we withdrew all joint projects for at least 2 years. Some remote viewers who were in the same NSA operation as myself told me personally that centuries ago, the people who were the creators of what we now call the New World Order entered into a pact with an alien nation hidden within the Earth. The U.S. government in 1933 agreed to trade animals in exchange for high-tech knowledge and to allow the creatures to use underground bases in the western United States. A special group was formed to deal with these alien beings. In the 1940s, these creatures began shifting their focus of operations from Central and South America to the United States. These creatures could be the same beings who were in contact and helping the German Nazis. Now they are slowly spreading like cancer to the United States. Skeptics have expressed doubts about the existence of secret underground bases. They always ask, "Where's all the dirt?" Well, one method of tunneling that has been available to the military since the 1950s and is now just being considered for public use is nuclear tunnel boring. The method for tunneling involves melting rock using a machine in which the molten material can be disposed adjacent to the boring zone in cracks in the rock and as a glassy wall lining of the formed tunnel. The heat source can be electrical or nuclear, but for deep drilling, a nuclear reactor is preferred. This amazing boring device is capable of drilling at depths totally inaccessible with previous drilling techniques. The stories that surround the secret underground bases and tunnels all seem to be connected to a thread involving the same types of alleged UFO entities, namely the Greys and Reptilians. These are beings that are fairly recent to the UFO scene, emerging as the dominant creatures associated with UFOs sometime in the early 1970s. Before that time, most reported UFO contacts involved human-looking aliens, often referred to as the Nordics, because of their light skin, blue eyes, and blonde hair. There were also small humanoids sighted starting in the early 1950s, but the big-eyed grays and the dinosaur-like reptilians were not reported until much later. It is almost as if these creatures' true form is being kept from us. Possibly they are able to disguise themselves to fit our cultural expectations. However, they always keep a humanoid appearance, one head, two arms, two legs. They look more like us than an actual alien probably would. Given how diverse life is here on Earth, it would be almost impossible for life on another planet to develop looking so much like us. Maybe they look so much like us because we are actually much closer to them than we know. So where do UFOs and their pilots actually come from? Do they come from outer space or from hidden places deep underground? Maybe the reptilians aren't from some distant planet. Maybe they are from Earth just like us. Maybe they are descendants of the ancient dinosaurs that lived millions of years ago. Maybe they didn't become extinct. Maybe, like us, they evolved into intelligent creatures who built their own civilization and science. Possibly some left to conquer outer space while others stayed behind to build their society deep underground. Maybe now they're returning to Earth, their home planet, to find it overrun with a bunch of talking monkeys. So now we find ourselves back to square one, asking the same questions but not getting the answers. Perhaps there are no real answers, only mysteries upon mysteries. This is probably why we are seeing a battle taking place within the groups that control what little actual information there is about UFOs. There is the Aquarius group, associated with the New World Order controlled MJ-12. And opposing them is a group known as COM-12. COM-12 is reportedly trying to sustain a rearguard action to keep and preserve constitutional government and is deliberately leaking information that MJ-12 is trying to hide. It is our duty to continue this mission and to bring the truth out into the light. But just how good is this information, considering the deceptive nature of the UFO beings? They have lied to us about their origins, their technology, and why they are here. To still think that all UFOs and the creatures that control them are strictly from other planets is naive. Now, my best guess is that the UFO phenomena actually is a number of different phenomenons that bear superficial resemblance to each other. Yes, some UFOs are interplanetary spacecraft, but others could be interdimensional, spiritual, even time travelers from our own future. We can't leave out any scenario because they all can fit into the puzzle one way or another. In fact, many UFOs are man-made ships using advanced technology such as zero-point energy and anti-gravity, and this has been kept secret from the public. Now, this is not as wild a claim as it may seem. As far back as the early 1900s, the great genius Nikola Tesla, who gave us our modern electrical technologies, discovered how to tap into the abundant natural energies that permeate the universe. His discoveries eventually resulted in the first experiments in time travel and anti-gravity. Of course, Tesla claimed that in 1899 he received radio signals from what he said could have been intelligent creatures not of this planet. So again, we have the possible alien connection, and the mystery continues. Okay, fine. Thanks. I've just been told that our studio may have been discovered and that we should all get ready to leave. But before we do, I would like to lead this group and everyone who is watching this closed-circuit broadcast in a prayer of protection. Now, even though most religions nowadays have been taken over by those only interested in power and money, true spirituality comes from within our souls and doesn't need a religion to connect us with God the Creator. So I now ask everyone to close your eyes and to visualize the perfect white light of God in creation surrounding us and protecting us from outside influences and from anyone or anything that would do us harm. I pray to God the Creator to protect us in our mission to bring truth and enlightenment to the starving souls on planet Earth. We acknowledge that we are all one with God the Creator and that we all contain within us the seed of divine love and creation. We all have a unique place within the universe, and God has a special task for us. Please protect us from the forces of evil, greed, and materialism, and allow us the vision to see beyond the veil of lies and deceptions that have enveloped the world. Only with your help, God, can we battle those who want ultimate control. And only with your help can mankind finally find its true place on this planet and in the rest of the universe. In the name of God the Creator, Amen. So I'd like to thank you all for being with me tonight. Those of you in the studio and those of you watching by our secure internet feed. Tonight I've just barely scratched the surface of the complex situation in today's world. But it's a good place to start. It is now up to you to spread the word about the great lies that are fed to us every day. It is up to you to help open the eyes of those who have been asleep and allow the wolves at our door to move in and set up house. Now this won't be easy. Those in control will use every power in their means to try and stop you. But for those of us who love our country, our freedom, and our planet, we know the truth, and we will not be stopped. We have the greatest weapon of all, and with God's help, we will spread the truth to the rest of the world. And those who conspire to benefit themselves by suppressing our rights and our freedoms, well, they will crumble in the light of truth. Thank you very much, and God bless.